from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good for us, you're playing golf today.
Back to more of the Tour Championship at Eastlake Golf Course.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back in. Abe Gordon here live at the Tour Championship, and things have gotten interesting. Little bogey here, little birdie there, and all of a sudden, Scotty Scheffler's 5-6-7 stroke lead, right now down to 2 over Colin Morikawa. Morikawa birdied 8, Scotty Scheffler bogeyed 8, and Scheffler at 25 under, Morikawa 23 under, and Sahith Theegala, who's having another good round today, he's 4 under through 10. He is 4 shots back at 21 under. So keeping an eye on that. Going to be real interesting. The weather is ominous, I would say. Not threatening is too strong of a word, so I'm saying ominous. Well, I don't know what the comparisons are between those two words, but we'll keep an eye on that. But it's going to start to fill up here on the back nine, and obviously they are about to make the turn, and some of the other golfers already on the back nine, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Wyndham Clark, among those, Rory McIlroy. He'll be up here not too soon. He's on 15, so we might be seeing his approach shot not too far from now. So we are on the 16th fairway along the right side in an area of Eastlake called The Landing. We are in the Dobell Tequila tent, but if tequila's not your thing, they have a full bar. So come on, check it out. Say hi. I'm the only one with a headset on that's talking, because I got Jersey Mike here with a headset on not talking. And that's, if you didn't know what I look like, only guy headset talking. You can figure it out. Little context clues there help you out. That's how we do that. All right. This next segment is an interesting one. I started the other day just writing these down. I wanted to pair each AFC team with the NFC counterpart or vice versa. I call it the AFC-NFC match game. It started out great. Like, the prep for this segment started out great. And let me tell you, when I got down to the last, like, 6 teams from each conference, it was a nightmare. They didn't make sense at all. And so maybe I stretched the creativity a little bit thin here. But here's how we go. Feel free to share your comparisons, an AFC team and their NFC partner. Now, I paired the teams and then kind of went with the topic to match those two teams. So here we go. The team to beat in the NFC, we got the San Francisco 49ers. In the AFC, the Kansas City Chiefs. They did it once. Can they do it again? To me, in the NFC, that is the Detroit Lions. I know they're supposed to be really good. I like what they put together on offense and on the defense, for that matter. But I still have concerns, even after last year, about Jared Goff. I've seen it one year. I need to see it again. And the counterpart to that in the AFC, in my opinion, is the Houston Texans. Did they overachieve last year? And if so, by how much? So the Detroit Lions and Houston Texans did it once. Do it again. Quarterback off injury, talent around them. Might make sense. Sound familiar? Sounds a lot like the Atlanta Falcons. Quarterback off injury, talent around them, Atlanta Falcons, and then the obvious pair for that would be your New York Jets. So there's that. Our next topic, category, if you will, pairing, talent is there, but can they put it together? In the NFC, I went with the Dallas Cowboys. Huge letdown last season. Talent is there. Can they put it together? Dallas Cowboys, and then the AFC, the Cleveland Browns. And that's going to be about the quarterback play. There's no denying that. I think the Cleveland Browns have what it takes to win a Super Bowl. Deshaun Watson may be holding them back. We'll see. Playing for the top pick. Carolina Panthers. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't see it. Deontay Johnson deal's not enough in the NFC. I don't trust Bryce Young. They're my plan for the top pick in the NFC, Carolina Panthers. In the AFC, it's the Las Vegas Raiders. And maybe Gardner Minshew can stay on a hot hand. But I don't think so. I don't think so. And so that's where we go. Again, at this part of this process, it was still pretty easy. It's towards the back end. It really got mucked up a little bit. Quarterback prove-it year. And you guys may disagree with me, especially for my AFC decision. Quarterback prove-it year, I'm going to go with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. I still have no idea if this guy is a franchise quarterback or not. I know he kind of got paid like one, but I need to see it. And then for the AFC, and this is one where a lot of people would probably disagree, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills. I'm going with Josh Allen. They have entirely stripped the amount of talent surrounding Josh Allen. His safety net is gone. If he can still do what he's done in recent years this year, like, you can go ahead and lock it in for Josh Allen as one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL for a number of years moving forward. But this year's going to be interesting for him. Next topic for the NFC-AFC match game. Did the offseason make them contenders? I went with the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC. Most of them are coming back. But the addition of Saquon Barkley, is that in any way able to put them over the top? Of course, Jalen Hurts has to perform better. They do lose Jason Kelsey. And in the AFC, I'm a lot heavier and hotter on this team than a lot of other people seem to be. And that's the Tennessee Titans. They add Calvin Ridley. They trade for Legarius Sneed. Obviously, there's major questions about Will Levis, the quarterback. I totally understand that. But if he's not totally a bum, I do wonder what the Tennessee Titans could accomplish. Now we get to Dom's favorite category here in the NFC-AFC match game. Trying to hold on to it. Of course, in-studio engineer Dom is a Steelers fan. I'm sorry, man. This is where the Steelers fell. They are trying to hold on to it, and I'm not exactly sure that they will. The good news is your NFC counterpart is a team a lot of people do still, for whatever reason, believe can put it together and win a Super Bowl. That's the LA Rams. So trying to hold on to it, the Steelers and the Rams, kind of the last gasp of a couple of contending squads, and we'll see how that plays out for both of them. Rookies leading the way. Of course, we're talking about rookie quarterback. The NFC representative here of rookies leading the way, the Washington Commanders, Jaden Daniels, and the AFC candidate, a very surprising Bo Nix with the Denver Broncos. Two teams that are kind of on the other side of it. Limited by quarterback play, that'd be the Minnesota Vikings, Sam Darnold, and the New England Patriots, whether it's Jacoby Brissett or Drake May, limited by quarterback play. Now, this next category in the AFC-NFC match game, major new influence, Chicago Bears, your the NFC squad, Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, major new influence there on that offense. They also traded for Keenan Allen. And then in the AFC, major new influence, let's go with the LA Chargers and Jim Harbaugh running things there. Next topic, and I got 5 left. So we got 10 teams still to burn through, and I had to pair these up, but we're trying to figure this out. Is he really a franchise quarterback? In the NFC, Baker Mayfield, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Is he really a franchise quarterback? And in the AFC, it doesn't matter whether you think so or not, he got paid like one. That is Tua with the Miami Dolphins. Is he really a franchise quarterback? Buccaneers and Dolphins. won't win the division, might make the playoffs. In the AFC, I'm going with the Colts, and I need to see a lot more from them. I do think they can be dangerous with Taylor and Richardson. Richardson's obviously got to find a way to stay healthy. There's already been some concerns with his ability to work his way through 17 games. And in the NFC, not going to win the division, could make the playoffs. I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks. They got a new coach up there, but Geno, we'll see what they can get done there. How much does a running back matter? That's the question you're going to be asking yourselves. In this circumstance here, you got one about losing a running back and how much that might hurt the offense. The other one is adding one. How much does a running back matter for the New York Giants? No more Saquon Barkley. What does that mean for an offense, and specifically for Daniel Jones, who probably could have used Saquon Barkley? And then on the flip side, for the Ravens, who add Derrick Henry, a team that came up just short of winning over the Kansas City Chiefs last year. What does a running back mean? How much does a running back matter for the Baltimore Ravens when you add a guy like Derrick Henry? So that's what we're working with, too. Two left to go. The question is, can they still contend in their division? I think you talk about the New Orleans Saints. Look, this is a team that ended up tied with the Buccaneers last year and lost. You know, obviously, didn't have the tiebreaker, so they were not division champs. But they had the same record as the Buccaneers last year. I find it very tough for them, but it's a question you can ask. And in the AFC, I'm going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Some real questions on offense. I know you got Trevor Lawrence, but no Calvin Ridley. I'm just not sold on the playmakers for the Jaguars. So that's what we got there. And then the final match game topic in the NFL for me, is there really enough there? I keep being told these two teams are really, really good. I just don't buy that they can win a Super Bowl. The first one in the NFC is the Green Bay Packers. Obviously, Jordan Love is part of this discussion, but I just don't know. A young receiving core that is still trying to grow, and really they haven't had a guy, in my opinion, step out and turn into like a dude. And so we'll check in on them. And then the Cincinnati Bengals is in a tough spot, as they have been. Obviously, Joe Burrow. Well, Jamar Chase, assuming he plays, but I just don't know if they can get that thing done either. So is there really enough there, the Green Bay Packers and the Cincinnati Bengals? All right. I thought that went pretty well. Let me tell you what. Because when I was writing this down, at some point I ended up with Bengals and Ravens, two theoretical contenders in the AFC. And I don't remember which two teams I had, but it was like two of the worst teams in the NFC. And I had to figure out how to rearrange some of these topics, because I don't think I was going to be able to pair the New York Giants with the Cincinnati Bengals very well. So I worked my way through it. I thought it was pretty well. You can share your thoughts online at Abe Gordon on Twitter. We are continuing coverage here from the Tour Championship. Scotty Scheffler did find another birdie there on 9. So he has extended his lead back to 3 shots. But you've got a whole back 9 to go. Low scores can be had. And so it's going to be very interesting to see if Scheffler can hold off Colin Morikawa and Sahith Theegala throughout the rest of the way. All right, when we come back, Atlanta Braves baseball being featured on Sunday night. Want to get into that. Also, earlier in the show, we talked about bold predictions for the Atlanta Falcons. I've continued to get some responses on social media. I want to get Dom's thoughts as well. So we might get into that topic a little bit also here in the 320 segment. Again, it's Abe Gordon coming until 5 o'clock, weather permitting, that is. Right here at Eastlake, we are just along the 16th fairway, the Dobell Tequila Tent. Come and say hi, grab a drink. Let's have some fun on a Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment...
Our Sunday tour coverage continues with Abe Gordon
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, the twists and turns continue here at the Tour Championship. Welcome back. It's Abe Gordon, 92.9 The Game, coming to you live from the Dobell Tequila tent right off the right side of the 16th fairway as you approach the green. And Scottie Scheffler is now back into a four-stroke lead. He birdied, he birdied 10. And Morikawa was just a par there. So back to 27 under for Scottie Scheffler. Colin Morikawa at 23 under and Sahith Tagala at 22 under. And again, if you hadn't seen the story, Sahith Tagala took a two-shot penalty on his own yesterday. He believed that in one of his backswings in a sand trap, he moved, quote, a few grains of sand. And for the golfers out there, you're not allowed to, you know, touch the sand. So he took a two-stroke penalty on his own. And imagine where he'd be if he didn't. You don't have to imagine. It's simple math, 24 under and ahead of Colin Morikawa. But that's what's going on right now at East Lake here. And again, they're going to be making their way. Let's see who's here right now. Looks like Rory is on 16 right now. He might have been the one. I used the Porta just a moment ago, and there was a big roar after I was walking back here. And maybe that was for Rory McIlroy's approach shot. So he is here at 15. Let's see who he's playing with. And it doesn't say. His playing partner must have already finished 15th. So there you go. But that was probably Rory. He got a big roar or so. And then coming through here next will be Hideki Matsuyama and Sung J.M. They'll be up here. They're on 15 now. So we're starting to get to it. We're starting to really get to the part where the big boys are going to roll through here over the next 35, 45 minutes, an hour, stuff like that. It looks like LSU fans are having an impact there on what's going on in Las Vegas, and they are in town for a game tonight against USC. And we were kind of joking about this on the midday show with Andy and Randy, but according to one Las Vegas casino bartender, LSU fans have drank in the casino out of Buffalo Trace. There's no more Buffalo Trace whiskey at whichever casino they're getting it done at. So pretty funny stuff there. All right. Atlanta Braves are going to be on national TV tonight. This comes after losing last night 3-0. They need a win today to split this series with the Phillies. It would be their first series loss to the Phillies this season. Max Fried, Zach Wheeler, they go head-to-head, 7 innings for each of them. Fried did allow 2 solo home runs and an RBI double. That turns out to be the difference in this game. And heading into the day, the Braves trail the Phillies by 6 games in the NL East. They are third
in the NL wild card, which is nothing new, but they are two games ahead of the Mets. And I know the Mets had hit a couple of home runs today, or at least one. Let's see if we can find at quick glance. The Mets are just a one solo home run in the six. Now they're playing the White Sox, so they're probably able to close that one out. So Braves are going to need to win tonight, or you could be potentially, if the Mets hold on, looking at a one-game lead for that third wild card spot. So you better dial in and refocus on the wild card. It was a nice thought, like the premise, and we talked about it in the show open, the premise of like, all right, we're down five games. We got four games with the Phillies. If we can sweep them, it's a one-game division lead, right? All right, forget about that. That's all gone. Chasing the Phillies down is gone. It's back up to six, and you need to focus on what's behind you right now, not ahead of you. The NL East is safely the Phillies. It's time to admit that it is theirs. Right now, it is about getting in, and more importantly, you are not safe in that regard, especially if the Mets can win today. And it's going to be tough for the Braves tonight, right? You got Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound, but he's been good lately, but you got Aaron Nola going as well. So I am interested to see some of the comments on Sunday Night Baseball in regards to Spencer Schwellenbach and what they thought could be this series for him. I mentioned this yesterday a little bit, too. This feels like it's a message, this series. If the Braves had won, even today if they can still win, it's going to be something the Phillies are going to have to deal with and look themselves in the mirror with. Situation where they have not beaten the Braves in a series this season. But if they're able to take this one, take three of these four, you certainly would give them full confidence going into the playoffs. I know they didn't face Chris Sale, but they did still face Fried, Ronaldo Lopez, and Spencer Schwellenbach. So that would, of course, be if they get the win today. Earlier in the show, we were talking about bold predictions for the Atlanta Falcons. The suggestions continue to pour in on social media at Abe Gordon on the X/Twitter. We're going to read a couple of these now, but before I get into what I've been sent, I do want to restate mine and then also get Dom Chorosky's, who is with us back in the Kia studios there. My bold predictions, as I shared earlier here on the show, Falcons are going to head into the playoffs riding a win streak of at least eight games. Drake London is going to have over 100 receptions this season, and A.J. Terrell will have five or more interceptions this season. So Falcons are going to win at least their last eight games. Drake London will go over 100 catches, and A.J. Terrell will have five or more interceptions. That is my set of bold predictions for the Atlanta Falcons. I also mentioned Joe Patrick shared one, 92.9 The Game Atlanta Falcons insider, and he said his bold prediction for the Atlanta Falcons is that they will be the NFC's number one seed. Now, he wanted to calm it down and dial it back and said that doesn't necessarily mean he believes they're the best team, just that based on their schedule, he does believe that they will be the number one seed. So that's where we stand with that. Dom Chorosky back in the Kia studios. You've heard my bold prediction. You heard a couple on the phones. We're going to get to some in social media here in a moment. But what do you have there as a bold Falcons prediction? You told me last night you had one, so let's go ahead and hear it.
Yes, I do. So this is actually a bold prediction for a player that I've been a little critical of, and that is Kyle Pitts. Kirk Cousins is known to favor tight ends in 18 games with T.J. Hockenson. T.J. Hockenson had 113 catches. I think Kyle Pitts is healthy this year. I'm going to drink the Kool-Aid. I think Kyle Pitts leads all tight ends in catches, receiving yards, and touchdowns this year.
All Falcons tight ends? That's not that bold.
No, all tight ends.
Oh, all tight ends? The whole league?
In the NFL, yes. He leads all tight ends. That's more than Travis Kelce. More than Brock Bowers, more than T.J. Hockenson, more than George Kittle.
Yeah, we don't like you either, Sam Laporta. No respect.
Yep. Give me Kyle Pitts this year.
All right. It is bold, and I can say that, and that's what I asked for. If you're going to give me something bold, and that certainly is up there. I do have a fantasy draft tonight, and so maybe we'll consider, not in the same league, you and I, but maybe we'll have to consider Kyle Pitts a little earlier than I thought. I don't know. We'll see. My league manager made all these wonky rules. I got to pour through the league settings now and change all this stuff up. It is Abe Gordon here live, not in the Kia studios today, at East Lake, the Tour Championship, as we head and turn down the back nine. And it is Scotty Scheffler looks like he picked up another shot. And his, I mean, it was – what a crazy run. It was seven-stroke lead. Now it was down to two. Now it's back up to five as he birdied on the 11th there. So – really good up-and-down day for Scottie Scheffler, but he seems to be finding his rhythm a little bit now as they are coming down the back nine. All right, couple of bold predictions that we received on social media, and I was asking people to be bold with it, right? You know, don't call in and say the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. Like, that's not a bold prediction. I really want something here. So I got a couple. Brandon Keeler wrote in, said Atlanta shocks Steelers Nation, wins big week one. They go 12-5, make a deep run in the postseason. All right, that's, you know, that's not the boldest thing I've ever heard, but it's you know, deep run of the postseason will kind of slide that way. Bob says Atlanta's going to make it to the NFC Championship game. They're going to lose to the 49ers by pick six thrown by Cousins. What's the point of that? That's not fun. That's not nice.
It's not fun, but it is bold. Hyper specific.
I mean, it's specific. I don't know if it's bold, but sure. Nick says the Falcons are going to win a playoff game at home as an underdog. It'd be a bummer to be a home dog, but that's certainly possible. J.D. Wyatt says NFC South hasn't had a repeat winner in years. So by way of elimination, it's the Falcons' year. He also adds it's going to be with Penix at quarterback because Kirk gets hurt. Randy says they're going to be the one seed and play into February if the main pieces on both sides of the ball stay healthy. Again, correct my math, but into February means Super Bowl berth. Joe said Bijan league rushing title, Penix starter by week nine, NFC South crown. Travis, with one I can get behind, says 13-4. They start the season 5-1. Jack said 11-6, win one playoff game. Sorry, it's not that bold. Fair enough. Henry says 11 wins, a division title, and one playoff win. 11 wins is a bummer. Man, that's a bummer. Ben, this one is bold, says Falcons go undefeated for the months of September and October, and the national media loses their minds. Here's one from Dino Medic. He says, "Here, you want a bold prediction? Here you go. When the Falcons lose a game, not a single fan starts screaming, 'Fire Raheem.'" Probably accurate. Probably yeah, accurate on one. That one. And then final one here on social media before we catch a break. Blake says that they're going to struggle early on, get hot late, make the playoffs via wild card, go on a run, make it to the NFC title game. Koo hits an overtime winner in the NFC title game, and then we smoke the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Again, long way to get to Falcons win the Super Bowl. Probably could have just tweeted that. Hyper-specific. You leave yourself open to be wrong at quite a few spots there.
Yeah.
But I'll take it. Like, at the end of the day, I'll still take it. Like, if what he says happens, if it takes a wild card berth and losing the NFC South to win the Super Bowl over the Ravens, you could sign me up. And just a couple of moments ago, Fred wrote in, Bijan is going to lead the league in rushing. And so that's where we have a lot of bold predictions for the Atlanta Falcons. It'll be interesting to see which of these, you know, sometimes I like make a note of these and keep receipts. We'll see if I find the time to copy and paste my way into a spreadsheet there. Keep receipts, if you will. All right, when we come back to college football. We got a lot of college football still to come here, but when we come back, college football. CBS Sports put out an article earlier this week before the start of week one. What keeps SEC fans up at night, specifically as it relates to their team and this season? We're going to go over this list and see where maybe they're right and maybe they're a little bit wrong on the other side. It's Abe Gordon here live at East Lake. The Tour Championship, a championship Sunday, and it is a five-shot lead for Scotty Scheffler. If you want to come in and say hi, we're at the Dobell Tequila Tent right off of the 16th fairway on the right side. Come say hi. Come get a drink before they close up shop as the golfers come through. All right, back in 5 minutes with college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Love playing golf. I love hitting houses.
It's the final day of the Tour Championship.
As Abe gives you all the latest updates live from the Tour.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
You know, I'm trying to deep dive the settings on my fantasy league before the draft tonight. And my commissioner has set the quarterback point to 50 yards for a point. But you get a 5-point bonus at 400 yards. I guarantee you tonight I will be the last person to select a quarterback.
Yeah.
50 yards?
What are we doing?
4-point passing, by the way, as you might expect. 50. Is that a typo? All right, I'll deal with that later. People don't understand. All right, welcome back in to the ABTL show here, live from the Dobell Tequila Tent here on 16th, just off the 16th fairway. And Scotty Scheffler, now through 12, is still holding on to a 5-shot lead over Colin Morikawa. And Sahith Tagal is kind of there, but he's through 13 and is kind of running out of holes to make a difference. So that's what you've got there. All right, I want to get back into college football here. CBS Sports and 24/7 asked some of their experts who cover each SEC program what their top concerns are for this season. I want to see if maybe we agree or disagree or are surprised that they didn't go in another direction. I just did this alphabetically, so let's go ahead and go through it alphabetically as well. Alabama, the experts from CBS Sports and 24/7 says the concerns, the nightmare fuel, what keeps them up at night. New faces at key positions like edge rusher, cornerback, wide receiver, an offensive tackle. And speaking of the offensive tackle, there was an injury to Caden Proctor in pregame warmups. So Alabama's got too many new guys at too many key positions, according to the experts. Arkansas, in-state recruiting is the concern right now. They're not keeping Arkansas top talent at home. And how much does the impact of John Calipari change whether or not it's a football-first school? Auburn, similar situation recruiting. Can Hugh Freeze make up for the setback seasons of Brian Harsin? Kind of like playing with one hand tied behind their backs. They've got to get an influx of talent in there for Auburn. For the Florida Gators, is wins going to equal talent culture? Because they might have good talent. They might have a decent culture. But if they do not equal wins, obviously a change will be made. Recruiting has been boosted, but the tough schedule may not show results. For the Georgia Bulldogs, what is nightmare fuel for the Georgia Bulldogs? What keeps Georgia fans up at night? The question of how long Kirby Smart wants to keep doing this. What's his coaching longevity? If he wins another title, obviously he's cemented himself. If anything, you got the example of Dabo Swinney. You don't want to hold on too long and ruin your reputation. You've also recently got Nick Saban saying, I don't want to do it the way that college has to be done right now. I'm going to step aside. So that's the question for the Georgia Bulldogs. How much does he want to do it? Kentucky, offensive stability. Third offensive coordinator in 3 years. They got a transfer quarterback in Brock Vandegrift. How will the offense translate to the SEC? I will say this. It did translate pretty well yesterday, in which they were absolutely impressive in that one. Continuing down the line, again, just going in alphabetical order, CBS Sports and 24/7 a list of the SEC teams and what keeps them up at night. For LSU, for Mississippi State, and for Missouri. All three of these teams, the experts said, defense. For LSU, I think that's obvious. The defense, it has to be better than it was last year. For Mississippi State, the defense, they feel like this team can score. Can they stop anyone? And then for Missouri, the defense. It was actually quite strong last year, but new defensive coordinator Blake Baker did leave for LSU. Can the defense hold up again? The offense should be pretty good there at Missouri. For the Oklahoma Sooners, the O-line, they got to replace five regular starters from a season ago. Will it hold up against the defensive fronts in the SEC? At Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin and the draw to other jobs. That's a big concern for Ole Miss fans. Is Lane Kiffin going to be drawn to other jobs? I'll tell you one that you go after him, the Florida Gators. Because that one might be opening up, and we'll see if Lane Kiffin has a similar, quote, ceiling at Florida that he seems to have, not my thoughts, but many others feel he has, at Ole Miss. South Carolina, the offensive line. It was an issue last year. Will it be an issue this year? We got the crowd saying it's going to be an issue. They barely won yesterday. South Carolina with a pathetic, the word of the day here, outing there yesterday. And so the offensive line is going to be a problem there for South Carolina. Tennessee. The quarterback, and Tennessee looked very good in their season opener yesterday, but the quarterback depth is going to be the concern for the Volunteers. If Nico stays healthy, it's not going to be a problem. But what happens if Nico goes down on campus, off campus, in the press conference, in the media room, pretty much everywhere? There is not a lot of trust in the guys behind him. Texas A&M, the big concern. Texas joining the SEC and immediately becoming a contender in the conference. Where does that leave you for in-state recruiting and so many other aspects? The rivalry between Texas and Texas A&M has been, at least from a perception standpoint, one-sided. Now, in conference on the field, it could become even more one-sided. For Texas, the questions about their recruiting. They right now have the 13th ranked recruiting class for the year 2025. Here's the problem. 13 doesn't sound bad until you find out that seven of the teams ahead of them are other SEC teams. They're ranked eighth best in the SEC. That is going to be a problem. And then Vanderbilt, who got a nice win yesterday, is Clark Lee the right coach to continue leading the program? Those are the issues, the things that keep you up at night for your SEC school. Honestly, and I want to go back and try and think about what I would change from this. These are experts who aren't really going to dump on certain people within programs. Like, as a Florida fan, like, what keeps me up at night is that they might not fire Billy Napier. Like that's a much bigger concern for me. Are they going to fire Billy Napier? For Georgia, like, in this season alone, specifically, is the biggest concern really whether or not they're going to Kirby's going to keep coaching? Like, you don't have any bigger concerns right now? I mean, I'm not saying it's going to, you know, wreck the season here. But what was supposed to be a massively dominant offensive line got handled a little bit yesterday by Clemson. And I know they have a good defensive line. We talked about that. But the offensive line could not really do much to open up holes in the run game. I know you were missing two running backs. But I would like to see them get a little bit, a little bit more assertive. Let's call it assertive there. LSU, yes, the defense has to be better, but like, you got to replace a lot of talent on offense. I'd be worried about a much bigger drop off offensively than a lot of people are expecting. Tennessee, yeah, I think that's fair with Nico. What's going on behind him? For me, I've always said this, Missouri, it's going to be about, as much as it is replacing Blake Baker, I think it's about replacing Cody Schrader. I think he was the heart and soul of that Missouri offense last year. And I know he's, you know, by rankings, not the most talented guy in the world, but this is a guy that was the heart and soul of that offense. And so I would look at that. All the rest, I think, are kind of in line with what you might expect. Oklahoma replacing offensive linemen at that pace is going to be a real problem. So that's what you got there. Again, a couple of bits of news for the Braves organization. Tyler Matzek is back in the organization. The Braves added him on a minor league deal, but they did do so early enough that he will be postseason eligible. So that is some good news. All right, we are getting to the point where some of these golfers here are really going to come and pass us by, because Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, Sahith Tagala, Xander Schauffele, they are all done with 13, currently on 14. And like we've said, we are on 16. We are not far away from these guys and seeing their approach shots and potentially what they got going on the green. It looks like Adam Scott and Wyndham Clark are just on the green right now here at 16. And if you're part of the crowd, if you're listening on the Odyssey app all day as you make your way through the holes with some of these guys coming down the back nine, we are on the right side of the fairway in the Dobell Tequila tent. Come and say hi. Come and grab a drink. The line's not too long, which is nice. They've been moving people in and out pretty quickly, but I do know when guys come through, they are going to, you know, shut it down once they move on to 17 and 18. So if you're walking by here and you want to get a drink, make sure you get in line relatively quickly. All right. By the way, the update, forgot to mention that. Colin Morikawa did get one more shot there. So Scottie Scheffler has a four-shot lead with 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18 to go. So he's up four shots. He's got five holes to go, and he can lock up $25 million in prize money here. And again, he's had a pretty good couple of days. So has Colin Morikawa. Just a quick note, a guy who just finished here, Russell Henley, carded a 62 today. That, I believe, is the low round of the tournament. So, yeah, that's the only 62. I know there was a 63 by Morikawa in round two, and there's been a couple of 64s and 66s and 67s, but 62 for Russell Henley. He jumped all the way into fourth place. So congratulations to him on an outstanding round here on Championship Sunday. All right, when we come back, more from the Tour Championship. We're going to hope this weather holds out. It's still ominous and maybe threatening. I looked at the radar, not that that's going to do me any good, but we'll see how that holds out. But we got 1 hour left to go. We're going to talk some college football in the 4 o'clock hour, but as always, we will go outside the perimeter, segment where I talk about some of the top national sports stories, headlines, and topics. 1 hour left to go. It is the Abe TL Show, live from Eastlake, just off the 16th fairway, the Dobell Tequila Tent. Come say hi on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.